Hello, hello, and welcome to Focus with Angela Duncan, where we focus on growing deeper in our walks with the Lord by focusing on God's love, God's heart, and the truth of His Word. Yeah. I'm your host, Angela Duncan. Thank you to all our listeners who tune in each week on Fishbowl Radio Network, the number one internet radio station. With over 4 million listeners tuning in globally each week, we'd like to thank our top 10 countries from last week: the United States, China, United Kingdom, France, Canada, Italy, Japan, Israel, amen, Germany, and Romania. I love y'all. Y'all like, yeah, amen. You can find me on Facebook under the group name Focus with Angela Duncan, or on podcast under Focus with Angela Duncan as well. Please go and subscribe. Our goal at Focus is to uplift, encourage, and inspire you by providing you with Christ-centered content that is authentic, informative, and relevant. All right, guys. So today, I couldn't be more honored to have two dynamic guests that are truly doing the work of the Lord. They are joining us from Restored Hope Ministries, a ministry to women caught in domestic abuse, and sex trafficking. Man, that talk about a ministry that is hands and feet of Jesus. Man. Our first guest, Pastor Sam Palinzi. Did I say that right?
Palinzi.
I need to get that done before I start.
Tell me when it's time to eat.
Pastor Sam is the pastor of Restored Hope Ministries in Dallas, Texas. As the pastor of Restored Hope Ministries, Sam and his wife, Sherry, oversee ministry programs such as Celebrate Recovery, Financial Peace University, budgeting classes, computer training, Bible studies, and the transitional housing location. Pastor Sam has a deep-rooted passion to see people healed of their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. God has uniquely equipped Sam for this calling with an incredible testimony that has already inspired so many to turn their lives around and truly be set free. My second guest is Victoria. She's passionate about loving other people just as Christ has loved her. Victoria came to Restored Hope in July of 2018 as a resident. Victoria believes she has been called to ministry and is honored to have the opportunity to learn and grow under the leadership of Pastor Sam and Sherry. Through RHM, Victoria realized that there was another in the fire, and now she has made it her life mission to help pull others out of the fire. That is awesome.
I love that.
I love that bio. Man, y'all have already made yourselves known. Please welcome both of them to the show. I love it. Y'all like, yeah. Ooh, amen.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Good. Thank you for having us.
I'm excited. I'm so excited because one of the reasons I started this show was to highlight people that were doing kingdom ministry, to highlight people that are walking in the cause of God on their life. You know, we hear about all the other things, but to have people that are actually the hands and feet of Jesus, yes, and are fulfilling the call of ministry on their life is just beautiful. Okay, so let's talk about you, Pastor Sam. First of all, I love your ministry. I love it. People don't realize the need, that there's a need to assist women in these situations. I want to talk about how you even came to start this and why the Lord put that on your heart. I said, when I think about your ministry, I thought about Luke 4:18, where he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, amen, to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind,
amen,
to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That is why we are here. We are following in the steps
that's
of
right.
Jesus.
Amen.
So that's essentially what you do. So why did you start RHM?
Really, it was a long time ago when I was in prison, and it's a little part of my testimony. I used to lay in my cell, and I'd ask God, what do you want me to do when I get out? Because now I've given my life to you, I'm straightened up, you got me off of heroin, everything's going good, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to help hurting people. So the whole, you know, general hurting people.
Yeah.
So he's had me with different groups of hurting people.
Mm-hmm.
Like drug addicts, because I was a heroin addict.
Mm-hmm.
Ex-convicts, because I went to prison.
Yes.
You know, Italian, because I'm Italian. You know, different things like that. And during that time, he told me to women, you know, to help women.
Yeah.
And we were pastoring at Covenant Church.
Uh-huh.
We were doing Celebrate Recovery, and we had some ladies from the streets come, and they would be there every week. And they were so faithful, but they would come with bruises and black eyes and casts on their hands. Yeah. And you could tell they're... So one night I said, you know, tell me y'all's story. And they said they were strippers and maybe one was a prostitute and somebody being trafficked or whatever.
Yeah.
And they told me that they get beat up every time they come to the meeting.
Wow.
I said, well, why don't y'all run away? Why don't you just run? He said, well, they find us. They chase us down, they find us, they kick the door in, beat us up, and take us back. Mm. And I said, you can't get away. And he said, no, we can't get away. I said, well, isn't there a place that takes you off and isolates you and takes you away from the street, off the grid? And they said, no, there's not. Mm-hmm. And so that was the calling. And I told my wife, and she said, you know, somebody needs to do it, but I don't know if it's us.
Man.
And, you know, because I'm a guy.
Yeah.
And guys usually don't get involved with this kind of ministry.
So unique.
Yeah. And so we just prayed about it for about 2 years. And finally she, you know, Sherry said, I'm going to release you to do what God wants you to do. Mm-hmm. And we took it to our church and they said, hey, man, we're behind you. Let's do it. And so that's where it started. And then God opened a whole new area of life for me that I knew nothing about.
Wow.
I got involved with some of the other sex traffic ministries that's been around for a while, but none of them had a place for the girls to go. Mm-hmm. It was all outpatient. Mm-hmm. Nobody got the vision of inpatient, off the grid. Mm-hmm. And so God made it very clear that he wanted this to be inpatient and to take them off where they'd be safe and they could be healed.
Beautiful. That is so awesome. And I'm so thankful to God that you answered the call, because that's what I mean when there's such a need, and there's sometimes, you know, we're not still enough to hear what God tells us to do, but there's such a need. And I'm like, each person in the body of Christ, you know, there's a need there.
Yes.
Let's fulfill it. And I'm so grateful that you did that. So tell us exactly what this ministry does. Like, if somebody was saying, what does Restored Hope Ministry do? Are you rescuing them? Do they come to you after they've been rescued? How does it work?
So we get ladies from several different areas. And if you get something while I'm talking,
anytime. Just
get right in. So like from the courts, judges, out of jail, prisons. Before COVID hit, we were going to the prisons. We could go up to the jail anytime. We work with the district attorney's office. We work with FBI, Homeland Security, ICE, all those places and offices. Then we have our website, which is all over the U.S., and word of mouth. So the ladies hear about what we do. So we rescue, heal, and help women that have been involved in the sex industry. So that sex industry covers a lot of things.
Okay.
It covers trafficking. It covers street prostitution, strippers, escorts, you know, just anything that's involved in the sex industry. So
is it only sex industry, or is it domestic?
Yeah, we are very, very well. Domestic violence is part of it.
Part of it.
It's a big, big part of it, because that's how they rule over these ladies.
Yes, but sex industry is like
the main thing that you guys
criteria.
So okay. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So we're focused on that, but the domestic violent part of it just comes along with it.
Gotcha.
Because that's how the pimps rule.
Yeah.
They rule by fear, drugs. And then they, you know, even getting the ladies pregnant to bond with the child.
Wow.
And so we provide 12 to 18 months of a freedom to heal. So the first 9-10 months, even a year, it's healing. That's all we're involved with. Don't care about their mama, their daddy,
kiddos,
their kids, nobody. It's just all about them and healing them and getting them strong enough to say no.
Wow.
And so after that, once they're released from our licensed counselor that we have on staff, we go to job search and we help them find jobs. And we don't do, you know, $5 an hour jobs or minimum wage, because a lady with children can't support their kids like that.
Yes.
So we have school teachers, we have dental assistants, we have all kind of good jobs like that. Hairstylists.
Oh, that's so awesome.
You know, different things like that. They get a job, we open up bank accounts for them, you know, we teach them how to ride the bus safely even. You get a little pepper spray, you get a little radio thing where you can listen to the radio, sit next to the driver, and they're safe
on
the bus. They find a job, they get to keep all their money. You know, there's no charge to what we do at Restored Hope until, like, phase three comes in. Mm-hmm. And we reunite them with their children.
Okay.
We take care of fees and fines and probation, doctors, medical, dental. These guys, they like to knock ladies' teeth out. Mm-hmm. And so we replace whole mouths of teeth. And different things that they do. You know, it's a very violent deal. And I've been in ministry for a good 30 years, mm-hmm. and I've never seen a more abused, traumatized group of people than these ladies.
And y'all are all in. I mean, look at all the things that you provide. It's not just come be safe for a minute and then we're sending you back out.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great about Restored Hope.
Come on.
I have to add this.
Okay.
Come on. I mean, there's no rushing through the program.
I love it.
It is when that lady is ready to go on to the next phase. So if one girl takes 6 months and the next girl takes a year and there's never, you owe me rent for being here, mm-hmm. everything is taken care of. I mean, I tell him when we go out on outreach, like, I've looked at girls in their face and I'm like, I know it sounds like I'm selling you a dream.
Oh,
and
yes.
you're going to wait for the shoe to drop out from underneath you and you're waiting. It's real, you know, and it's a tangible and real life example of the love of God and
the love
of Christ.
I love it. And you mentioned something. Let me back up. I met you at another conference where you were there speaking. And one of the things that you said is what Victoria is talking about is the fact that you make sure y'all fulfill whatever you sell to them. Because a lot of times, didn't you say they're sold these dreams?
That's it.
She tells me that all the time.
Come on.
She's running it down. She goes, selling the dream.
Yeah, but you help fulfill it.
Yeah.
He does.
You don't just sell it. And didn't you say a lot of times they're sold that dream in before, in their previous
life? In the game. Absolutely.
And the pimps will say, I'm going to do this, this, and this if you do this, and then they don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, they offer total freedom, mm-hmm. especially to a younger lady, you mm-hmm. know, even at the high schools. They'll park across the street and watch who gets out of the car and slams the door, who's crying, who goes and isolates into mm-hmm. a different place. And you offer that girl an iPhone and a $60,000 Cadillac, and you can do whatever you want. You ain't got no mom and daddy telling you what to do, what time to be home. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes, all you have to do is have sex. You have sex anyway.
Right.
Why not get paid for it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. That's the dream. And I'm really, I hate when she says that because it's our thing is not a dream. Mm-hmm. It's reality.
It's reality, yeah.
And the biggest part about that is we never let them go. We're with them for life as long as they want to stay in touch. It's not, you completed the program, here's your certificate, see ya.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And I have to give kudos to my pastor because even the ones that don't, like mm-hmm. even we've had a few that have chosen to do other things and gone off, mm-hmm. and they will pick up the phone and call, and he is still there.
Yeah.
I mean, he is still offering love. What can I do? How can I help? You know, do you need anything? And he's there. So
that's so awesome. That is so awesome. And that's truly like representative of the Father's heart.
That's it.
Because we don't ever go too far where he can't snatch us back.
That's
you know what I'm saying? And so I love the fact that there's always that open door. Even if, you know, because sometimes we think we're good and we go off and we got it. Mm. And then you have to come back. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. So, Victoria, you kind of already kind of talked a little bit about this. But you were a former resident.
Yes.
And now you work with the ministry.
I do.
I love because that says to me a lot about the ministry.
Yeah.
That not only were you a part of it, but now you're like, hey, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Tell me about your journey there and how that happened.
Yeah, so I want to back up a little bit and tell you about a little of my testimony because you see me sitting here, and this is not who I was. I was a heroin addict for 12, over almost 13 years.
Can't even see that. That's
so
funny.
Yeah, was strung out. Like, not
strung
like a kind
out.
Of heroin
she
addict.
Was
like,
bad.
Just out of there. Track marks on neck, carving out the back of my flesh. I mean, all of it. Needles breaking off, the whole bit. In prostitution, robbing houses, had 3 children. First one was taken by CPS.
Girl.
Middle one was my mom had. Third one gave up for adoption. I mean, didn't it go to the hospital with the third one? I was out there.
Yes.
And I just knew that I knew, like, that was it. I was going to die a heroin addict. It's just a matter of fact, that's how I'm going to go out. And God had another plan.
Oh, my gosh.
But God.
I tell you, but God. Like, but God.
You better come
in and out. In and out since 06 out of the same courtroom. I mean, just back and forth, more charges, and this time, I mean, the judge in Fort Worth was like, you are going to prison. There is no other option. Yeah. He'd given me every opportunity to do something different, and I just couldn't, and I wouldn't. And Pastor Sam had actually been recommended, or the ministry had been recommended a year before I got out. I ran. You know, I'd been accepted the whole bit. I went off. I did my own thing.
Yeah.
And at this point, you know, God just removed everything. Like, I was in a single cell. I'm a people person. I like to fix other people's problems.
Yeah.
He removed that. He removed boyfriend. He removed things. He removed mom, everything. And so it was me and Jesus in a single cell. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like the first 6 months, every show, I was like, bop.
Bam.
So,
yeah,
I'm
putting them right here.
The
first show, okay?
It's like the old Batman movies, remember?
Bam! Oh my God, it's the real deal.
So, come on.
Yeah, and just fell in love with Jesus. And I told him in my cell, I said, God, if you make a way for me to go to this program, I will serve you for the rest of my life. I will do as much good for you as I did bad for the enemy, and I did some bad things. And you know, so, he showed up.
That was the same thing I said. I said, God, please, make me as good a Christian as I was a thief and a heroin addict and a robber. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, don't you? I love that you actually did that.
Yeah.
That you're radical the same way. Because a lot of times people come from these lives and they're like pity patty Christians. And it's like, no, you were crock in the world. Come
That's
on.
Right. That's right.
Well, get out there.
You a soldier. Y'all booted and
we
ready.
We actually talked about it on the way over here. She said, you know, I say I'm a little nervous. I said, hold on. This
a little
is, you broke into people's houses. You shot heroin in your arm, your neck, your toes, your, you know.
That happened too.
Yeah, you know, and now you're going to tell me you're nervous standing on a little television.
Come on.
A little radio show where nobody's out here.
Yeah.
They can't see it.
Yeah, it's just us.
Yeah. And it's Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, everybody.
So good. So good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so let me tell you. So
you
I'm sorry, I'm loud. I know, I do.
You were breaking into houses.
I was a hot mess. Yes, I was a hot mess.
I mean, I don't know. I know for those of y'all that are listening through FBRN, you can't see her. But she is a beautiful woman.
Thank you.
And you looking at you, you would not think
Jesus.
That you've been through what you've been through. Like, if I saw you on the street, I would not think heroin addict.
Yeah.
If I saw you on the street, I wouldn't think heroin. I'm like, look like just a father, a grandfather. You know what I'm saying? Fun, you know.
Godfather? Did you
he's
say
the Godfather, that? Yes, because he's Italian, y'all. No. But, you know, that's what's so awesome about Jesus, that restoration.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, and he redeemed it. And so Pastor Sam showed up in my court date. God just overturned the verdict. I mean, because the answer was no, and then all of a sudden I was being released. And, I mean, RHM just changed my life. I mean, I had my face set, and I knew that I wasn't going to go back. I knew that if I turned around, nothing was left except the grave. You know, I'd done the rest. And so I went forward. And, I mean, the counselor, Alicia, is amazing. Mm. She takes you through deliverance. You write a whole timeline and identify things you've done to others, they've done to you, and that just these pivotal moments in life. Mm. And you identify, the power of it is you identify the lies the enemy have told you since birth. You know, it's your fault, and you're this, and you're a hoe, and whatever the case may be.
Yes.
And you identify the truth. You personally find it in the Word of God, and you combat that lie with the truth, and you stand up and do a ceremony, and it's powerful. He stands in the gap as the fathers, as the men, as the pimps, as the boyfriends,
everybody.
You know, all those roles, and apologizes for them, which is huge. It's huge. And he just,
so you're going
amazing.
Into my next question, which I'm
okay,
glad.
Sorry.
Because no, I'm that's perfect. Because you said, girl, that's the Holy Ghost. You segue right into my question, because I was going to ask you, Pastor Sam, explain why it's imperative that you as a man, this is how I wrote it, are an integral part of the healing for these women. Because most people would think a man doesn't need to be part of it because this is there. They've been abused. They've had pimps. It shouldn't be men there.
Yeah.
But you have a different take, and the Lord showed you something different. Yeah. Explain why you're such a part of the healing.
So, you know, it's kind of funny. Everywhere we go, if we go out to eat, especially when we first started, I'd have people come and tap me on the shoulder. And it'd be men, and they'd say, "What are you doing with those women?"
Yeah.
And I'd say, "I'm their pastor," and they'd go, "I'm sure glad because I was fixing to knock you out," you know, because they know about the trafficking and what goes on and all that. If we go shopping, we used to go shopping, and you know, they'd all line up like little ducks behind me, and I'd be leading it.
Yeah, that does.
And they want to play, see, So in the middle of the store with all the employees, everybody go, "Hey, Daddy, would you buy me?" And then everybody looked. I had several of them in the back of a truck one time. We were picking up furniture. And we got pulled over because they were in the back. And the policeman came up, and the girl said, "He's trafficking us. He said, please help us." I said, "Y'all don't play.
Don't play like that.
I said, "Sir, I'm the pastor. You know, don't shoot me." And everywhere I go to speak, if we go, ladies will come and say, "Why are you there?"
Yes.
So here's the reason. God told me that because men did this to them, without a man in their life to help them heal, they cannot get healing. Mm. It's a critical part that has to be done. That a man has to let them know that there are good men.
Yeah.
There's men that don't cheat. There's men that don't lie. There's men that don't want anything from them. When they find out that they don't have to
do
perform
anything
sex
for
to
you.
Be in Restoring Hope Ministry, that the tears pop out of their eyes. I tell people, there's two ways to cry. Most people, it just runs down, but they just pop out because nothing's ever been free. Can I have a ride to the store? Yeah, for sex. Yeah. Can you get me some medicine? I'm sick. Yes, for sex. I'm hungry. Can you buy me something to eat? Yes, for sex. Mm-hmm. So unless a man is an integral part of the healing, and she was talking about I stand in, they get this far from my face. And I'm the pimp. I'm the dad that molested him. I'm the bully, the next door neighbor, the cousin, the uncle, the boyfriend, the husband that did all this. And they tell it to me. And then I ask him to forgive me as a man for all that's been done.
That's powerful.
So any ministry that's working with women of sex industry, and there's no man, they're not getting it all the way.
You said a good point, or very pivotal thing, any ministry. And I think it's important to understand you're doing ministry.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This isn't just about providing shelter or provide. There's places that do that. And the reason I love you guys is because you're doing more than that. You're doing ministry, deliverance, healing. You know, you don't just leave them at, okay, we helped rescue you. Now we've provided you a place. I mean, that's fine. That's great. You know, that's great. But we got to deal with the brokenheartedness, the, you know, all of those things that you're doing. That takes a lot. Did the Lord just tell you to do that? I mean, how did you come about, like, starting that process?
Well, you know, you have to make up your mind before you start. Are you going to be Christian? Are you going to be faith-based? Mm-hmm. So we're unashamedly Christ.
I mean, is this show.
We've turned down hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I'm sure.
Literally.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because we won't stop our Christian classes. And that we make them go to class.
I love it.
Now, we don't force it on anybody. We have Muslims that come. Mm-hmm. We have every religion that comes. Gay or whatever the proper word is, anybody can come because the word says whosoever. So they can come. They can't practice that while they're there, and they're going to get the love of Christ. But that's how we do that.
That's so awesome.
So God, we sat down to answer your question when we first started. We had a group of ladies, and I said, "Tell me what we need to do to minister to women." And so we designed all the programs, all the rules, all the classes, and what we would do for them because of these ladies that were in the Celebrate Recovery group.
Yeah.
There's no place for us to go. They always find us. They kick in the door. We can't hide. We can't. So we knew it had to be a true safe house.
Absolutely.
And so it is a safe house. Google doesn't even have our address.
Amen.
And I've been saying that so much lately. But it's true, they don't. And I argued with them for weeks. And I said, somebody gets hurt.
Yeah.
It's going to be Sammy instead of Google. Because I'm going to sue you and take it.
That's right.
And so
Sammy.com. Come on.
Sammy.com. And so that's how we came up with the program.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then different things, you know, because my wife has been through some trauma. You know, she's been healed of terminal cancer.
Beautiful.
And she had stuff going on in her life when she was younger. So all these ladies that we have give input to what we should do and how we should do it. And then you throw it all away the first girl you get. Because then you got, oh, you know what? We need to do that. It changes every day, every year.
Yeah.
About things we need to do.
Yeah, Yeah, but that's powerful. How does that affect you? Does it affect you? I mean, how does, are you more so just, I would think that that would be, sometimes could be emotionally or spiritually draining for you. Is it?
Well, I'm a big crybaby anyway.
Yeah.
So they, you know, I never cried. Mm-hmm. When I was a heroin addict, when I was mm-hmm. robbing people, mm-hmm. you know, I got 40 years in prison for this stuff. And I didn't cry. I never cried until we took our grandson to raise. Mm-hmm. And this little boy that I changed mm-hmm. his diapers mm-hmm. and stayed up with him at night made me cry.
Wow.
And then I got that for women, too, mm-hmm. the trauma. Because, see, nobody realizes what all that entails.
Yeah.
And we can't even say it on the radio.
Absolutely.
But it's the most horrible, horrible animal thing that these men do to these girls. And for them to be strong enough to want to change, yeah. it's very emotional when one leaves. Me mm-hmm. and Sherry, we cry.
I bet.
And we, you know, it hurts us personally. And it's a tough ministry, but it's what we're called to do. At first, now, it used to really mess me up. Mm-hmm. And, but God would show me things. I mean, it's really cool. One instance that I want to tell you about is one of the girls left, and mm-hmm. I was really down, and mm-hmm. Hotel California came on the radio when I was driving home, and they said, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. And just for an instant, yes. I mean, just a millisecond, I said, I'll check out. Mm-hmm. And I went into a donut shop to get some donuts. Hmm. There's this little boy with his father in front of me. And as soon as I saw him, he looked at me, I said, oh, this kid's going to do something, you know. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't in the mood. He kept turning around, look at me, And he was, you know, a little kid. Mm-hmm. And you don't touch somebody else's kid.
Right.
You know, especially a guy.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, the kid just jumps in my arms. There's nothing I can do. I have to embrace
right.
him. And the dad's standing there looking. He pats me on the back. And God says, it's going to be okay. I got you.
Ooh, yeah.
During this one time. This has happened powerful. Several times. And the father just smiled and came over and took the child. And I asked the lady, because I'm every Saturday at the donut shop. Mm-hmm. That's a place where we went. I said, have you ever seen them before? And the lady said, never been mm-hmm. in here before. Yeah. And I've never seen them since.
I love it.
Then another time, something happened. I'm driving on our street. I look over to the side of this.
You good. See, good. You good.
I looked over to the side of this building, and there's a cross on the side of the building
uh-huh.
with the angel hovering about. And I got a picture of it. I got people. I drive by that building every day to go to work. It's never there again. Mm-hmm. He just shows me that he's there and that he's with us and that he cares about what we're doing.
So powerful.
So
this is just a thought I had, and I could be completely wrong, but I think because of the work you do, it's not easy. It's tough. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I would think it would be tough. I think you have to be a special heart. You have to have a special character to do it. Sometimes I'm not saying that the Lord... You know how he allows things, and the fact that you had such a rough boom, 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 I feel like it strengthened you for the work that you're doing now.
He works all things out for your good.
I mean. He works it for your good. You were bad in the world. You were tough. You toughened yourself up. He had you. And it's almost like that resolve that he gave you before when you were doing it in the world. It's like, you know, he'll use that to help you stay and, you know, help these.
Yeah.
I believe that.
I don't know if that makes sense, but that's the thought I just had.
That leaving the prison and everything
all of that
I did prepared me for
this
ministry. And even Celebrate Recovery, you know, mm-hmm. I was just like any other guy.
Yeah.
You know, I had problems with pornography mm-hmm. and different things. Mm-hmm. And through Celebrate Recovery, became pure in that area mm-hmm. so that he could trust me with them.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
When I say our steps are ordered, yeah. I love it.
Right. I said, man, you just set us up.
You do. Because I feel like if you would have been any type, your character would have been different, or you might not have been through what you've been through. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Would you have had the resolve and the strength to be able to stand and take on these difficult things?
Because
that ain't easy.
Yeah. And, you know, the ladies have been calling me like Pastor Dad. yeah. or stuff like that yeah. because they didn't have a dad.
That's so beautiful.
And sometimes if they did, it was the one that, you know,
abused
that,
them.
That messed mm-hmm. over and abused them mm-hmm. and set them on this shame. See, the shame is more powerful than drugs. Mm-hmm. And Victoria can talk about this a little bit more, but mm-hmm. that shame of the first time something happens keeps you a slave
in a cycle,
and then you don't want to tell anybody, mm-hmm. And then different things happen, mm-hmm. and you keep your, you know, Jesus. Celebrate Recovery says you're only sick as your secrets, and so, it's always like, you know, I was molested mm-hmm. as a teenager, mm-hmm. and so every time I'd go preach, every time I'd go speak, you know, devil would always be,
of course,
and he would mm-hmm. say, "You gonna tell him about that this time?"
I gotcha.
And then mm-hmm. tell Celebrate Recovery, I didn't.
Yeah.
And so after Celebrate Recovery, you know, I'm preaching in front of 2,500 people, three services, and just telling everybody. Mm-hmm. And then, see, if you tell your secrets, he can't mess with
that's
you.
That's right.
The
takes
only
his power
way he
away.
Can get in is through your secret.
Yes, that's good.
And so once you do that, you're done.
Freedom. So good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he hides in the darkness, but Jesus is the light of the world.
That's
He's the light of truth. And when he comes, he dispels that.
He lights it all up.
Well, since Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and I love it, and that's how he does it.
Okay,
so tell me, Victoria, he said you might want to talk a little bit more about the shame, and I was going to ask you, too, you can talk about that, and then you can also talk about what's unique about this ministry.
I think you did a good job on the shame. I'm going to go on to unique, because I love this ministry.
Come on.
I really did.
I know, I love it.
So much is unique about Restored Hope. Uh-huh. Obviously, the fact that it has a safe house and mm-hmm. that you have placement mm-hmm. and that there's no, you're not a number. Mm-hmm. You're not just another case. You are your name, you know, and you find identity there, and they train you up. And mm-hmm. I tell the girls all the time, I'm like, we live through hell.
Yes.
I mean, obviously you're a fighter and you're chosen to come to Restored Hope, but what they give you, like nothing happens without the Holy Spirit's movement.
I'm telling you.
Like he tells them yes, he tells them no, mm-hmm. he tells them move. Stop all of it, and they become warriors, you know.
So
and it's a unique program in the fact that there's no rush, like we discussed. There's mm-hmm. no time. There's mm-hmm. no speed through. There's never a moment where they're asked to pay rent. Mm-hmm. I came in missing 7 teeth. They got it all paid for. I mean, they take care of everything. I came in on probation. They took care of all the probation fees. I now live in the apartments. I have my daughter. God just restored things that were stolen, but they use Restored Hope to do just that. Your dreams, you're asked about when you first get there. Hey, what do you want to be? What does it look like for you? And they make it happen. You know, they make it happen. I knew that I wanted to help people. That's all I knew. I knew I wanted to be in ministry. I knew I wanted to help people. I went to rehabs for jobs. And the Lord just kept shutting the door, shutting the door.
Look at there.
And then they offered me this position, which was kind of new for them and kind of a new mm-hmm. territory.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell them that story?
Yeah, come on. Do it. Tell the stories.
So the deal is she kept going to job search, mm-hmm. man. She had her mm-hmm. little pepper spray. She was on the bus.
In the heat, girl. I don't do heat.
It was hot. See, and that's how we test to see if they're really real.
Yes.
It was hot. I mean, they're just melting.
Oh,
she went to ministry after. I'm going to change that word. They weren't ministries. They were programs.
Yeah, rehabs. Yeah.
She went to programs and rehab after rehab after rehab. And they're so silly because the best person to work in rehab, somebody's been through it.
Right, and I had felonies. And so that was like, no.
And so she was also in charge of the kitchen. And so besides job searching and all that, she cooked every meal, fed those girls, took care of all that. And one day I walked back there into the kitchen. She was sitting on the floor in the middle of the kitchen. And I said, what's the deal? What's going on? I'm just thinking about what I'm going to do. I can't find a job. Mm-hmm. And I said, what is it you want to do, Victoria?
Yeah. Love it.
And she said, I want to be in ministry. Mm-hmm. I want to give back. I want to serve God. So that planted it in my mind.
Yeah.
I went back and told Sherry, I said, let's just see how Victoria does. If she can't find a job, I want to hire her.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, that was just day one of this whole big thing. I mean, she is awesome.
Yes.
I mean, she has done everything that we've asked her to do. The girls love her.
Mm.
She'll shut me down in a minute. You know, if I'm wrong, she'll go, you over-exaggerated that, or you did this, or you did that. You know, just keep in line. And the girls, you know, like, I'll go, I am just frustrated. She said, let me go talk to her. Girl, you need to get your
Yeah, get yourself
together. I'm not the one.
Yeah, because you was robbing houses.
You ain't scared.
No, but I've been there. You're not scared. We're crying about peanut butter. You were literally tricking out there. Let's get it together.
Oh, is that how we do, though? We forget.
Yeah. Okay.
Short-term memory.
Yeah, it happens.
Somebody, our chat is up, and somebody said, Victoria is a powerhouse. God uses her in a mighty way.
Who said that?
Thank you.
Is it Christina Terry?
Yes, I love her.
She also said, hey, Christina. She said, when Pastor Sam and God make a plan, sign, wonders,
that's right,
and miracles follow.
That's right.
I love it. Yeah, the chat is on. People are constantly, that's why if you see me keep looking over there, it's because people are constantly, I know you're like, can you pay attention? No. It's constantly going
but
on.
But you know, this is, you know, her deal is the thing that we want to happen.
Mm.
We want to get them saved, Holy Ghost filled, in a church. So
love
that's
it.
What the mentoring program's about. Mm. So, she, you know, this lady, how she got to Church in the City, mm-hmm. which is a great church. If you don't have a home church, go see them. It wasn't her mentor, but it was a volunteer that came every mm-hmm. Wednesday and did class. Mm-hmm. And they just connected. And these volunteers will take them to their church. And then they have a friend. Because, you know, like when you talk to somebody and you go, well, how are you doing? I can't find any friends. I don't know anybody mm-hmm. in this city.
Mm-hmm.
So they either want to leave or they get in trouble or they relapse.
Yeah.
So that's what that program's about. She found this lady,
uh-huh.
and they fell in love, mm-hmm. and they're good friends, and they started going to church. And, you know, the first time I went, I stayed away because I didn't want to interfere mm-hmm. into her church.
Yeah.
But the first time I went, you talk about being a proud daddy.
Oh.
I saw her standing behind the pulpit in the lobby working.
Yes.
She is already serving in the church.
I love it.
Greeting people.
Yes.
And I stood back like this. You know, and it was awesome.
Mm.
You know, it was one of those moments. That's the reward.
That's beautiful.
That Sherry and I get is to see them, you know, to do like her and several others have done, you know.
And not just us. Like, I want to add to your reward because it's our kids.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man. I was, when I first moved to the apartment, so that's like the third phase of the program, mm-hmm. which is a whole other piece, and something that is unique mm-hmm. about Restored Hope is that it's not, you just get a job and then, okay, you're on your own. Good luck. I mean, you leave with $3,000 to $6,000 for sure in a bank account that's yours. No one's attached to it. No one can touch it. And you go over.
From their working.
You have the option.
Mm-hmm. That y'all save it for them.
Yeah. You go open an account. It's in your name. They don't have access.
So can't touch it.
Nothing. And then you can go to the apartments. And the apartments, you pay a minimal rent mm-hmm. that does not exist anywhere.
I'm sure.
And it's not rent. I'm sorry.
Discipleship program.
Program fee. I apologize. But still accountability and that safe net, mm-hmm. I guess. You get to go to church with the group mm-hmm. and do different programs and things. And, you know, I was, all that to say, I was in my apartment and my daughter, I mean, I had just graduated probably 3 months. I'd just gotten my daughter, which was one of those things that, like, the devil had me believe in. That was never going to happen. I did not have the heart of a mother. I mean, I was a hot mess. And to see her jumping around on the couch, and I had worship on, and she was worshiping. And it just showed me, like, how, you know, me coming into alignment and obeying had not only changed my
generation,
ending, but generations. Yeah. And that's what this program does. Like, for the ones that have kids, it changes the children's story.
Come
and for the ones that have parents that are not, you know, not believers, I mean, you see the effect.
Oh.
I mean, it's like a drop and it just ripples across the lake because the Holy Spirit, he just takes over and he transforms every part of your life.
Tell him something about what Naomi does. Mommy, we're going to pray for that one.
There's girl.
She can pick a girl out.
Already an evangelist.
I'm going to tell you what. Like, I love people. And I'm, like, intimidated sometimes about sharing. You know, how do you go up to people and different things?
Yeah.
We were at the shoe store, okay? And so this lady was kind of snippety, not super mm-hmm. kind to me. And my daughters watch it. Like, mm-hmm. are you going to revert back? You mm-hmm. go get some type of way. You know, let's see what happens.
Yes.
I was like, she must be having a bad day.
Right.
Da-da-da-da-da, whoop-de-whoop. I go over with my mom and Naomi. Naomi says, well, Mom, I think you need to go pray for her.
Wow.
Checkmate. Yep, you're right. I sure do.
Wow.
You know, but pushing and driving. And another thing that she did that was just cool of how much I've changed. My daughter remembers me shooting dope. and she remembers things very vividly. Wow. And we were playing a game, and she was lifting her hands, and she was like this, and she's like, "Who am I? Who am I?" Mm-hmm. And I was naming all these people. I was like, "Pastor Sam, Pastor Sherry." I mean, I don't know who you. Who are you, baby? She said, "No, I'm you."
Yes.
And I mean, it just struck me.
She was showing you worshiping.
Yes. I mean, just seeing the shift.
The shift.
You know, and it was powerful.
She was around when you were on drugs and through that.
Yep.
Does she remember the prostitution and all
she
that?
She does. She remembers the sex. She remembers porn. So these are things like navigating now being a mom and having her and it being everywhere. I mean, we drive around in Dallas. Mm-hmm. It's on the billboards, all the strip clubs, all the new fine arts and things. And like, I have my daughter looking for girls actually now because she's seen it. Naomi, and she's like, "Do we need to help her? Can we help her? Can we pray? Can we this?" Absolutely. Wow. And so God's just using it. You know, like you were saying about his story or my story. I mean, what the enemy meant to derail Naomi, I believe God's going to use. You know, so
she's a little evangelist already.
She is. Yeah.
She out here reaching.
That's right. That's right. Telling her nurse at school, "Do you go to church?
Wow.
Would you like to go to church?"
Can you imagine the call that is on her life, that's been on her life.
That's right.
Now that you are
on
the straight and narrow, it's going to be able to come to pass.
So that's also
part of
the ministry. Powerful.
Yeah, to kids too.
The parents, if they're safe. Mm. The kids from CPS, foster care.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Or grandma, wherever they're at, that is part of it. And the Phase 3 discipleship program then puts them back together. Yeah. And so it's tough. I mean, it is really tough. I applaud her every day because Naomi is still seeing, is mommy real? Because we played a game for a little while, but is she going to go back?
Oh, come
and she ain't
on.
Going
yeah,
back.
Come on.
Because I told her I'd kill her if she did.
Yeah.
One thing, and besides that, she's not going to.
Yeah,
but she's got a girl. She's only been back with her daughter for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what we try to do with everyone, even the parents. I mean, the parents will call, "No, you don't know her. I raised her. She's a game playing." And then, you know, 3 months later, the parent will call me and go, "She's different, Pastor."
Something's
Sam,
different.
She's
that
different.
Was something that I was going to say that when I was hearing you say that, how many times are parents, do we do the secular recoveries and things and people?
Right.
You know, only Jesus can truly transform you. Mm-hmm. And you see that where they get recovered for a minute,
it's
and
a
then
Band-Aid.
They go back.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the parents are like, "I don't believe it because this is what always happens."
Yeah. Well, even husbands.
Yeah. Yes. And then you see the true transformation through Restored Hope Ministries. And that's powerful. That's life-changing. Yes. That's life-giving.
Some of the parents won't even come get them for visits. And they have to prove themselves to them. You know, I had to prove to my parents because
you know,
when
really
I told
changed.
My dad in prison that I gave my life to the Lord, he said, "Okay, son."
Yeah, everybody says
can't
that.
See, I'm
right.
blinking my eye.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with the kids and trying to work them into visitation and different things with their families. Because just like Amanda, you know, her kids would not believe for a second that this woman had changed.
Yeah.
And she did. Now they're all together, and they all love each other. And,
seeing her grandbabies, everything.
Restored
that's
hope.
It.
That's it. God gave me that.
That's beautiful.
You know, and so one guy said to me, that title, that name, it just doesn't kick.
Yes, it
I don't
does.
Think that's good. I said, that's what God told me to call it, so I'm going to call
you're
it that.
You're going to call it what he said, and that's right. exactly what you're doing. You're restoring hope like Jesus does. How can people donate to your ministry? What do you need? I'm going to put your website on the Facebook page, but I also want to say it for those of your listeners. Is it restoredhopeministries.org?
Yeah, it's rhmdallas.org. rhmdallas.org is the shortest way to get there. And what to give and how to give is all on the website. You know, we have two big events going on right now.
Yes, tell us about what's going on.
We have the golf tournament that's coming up May 26th. If you know anybody that plays golf, tell them just to go to rhmdallas.org and you can get all the information about that. All that, every penny that we get for anything goes directly to take care of the ladies because we do everything.
Everything
for them, including school or college, whatever they want to be, they can be.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and then we have our raffle, which I am giving you three tickets to give away to your radio
audience. Yay! He brought three tickets. This is for the raffle or for the
This is for the raffle that has to do with the golf tour, but it's our way of giving back to the community. It's the RHM stimulus package.
Tell them the price.
So you can take, there's only 200 tickets. You have one and 200 chance to win.
Oh, that's awesome.
$100 a ticket, but the prize is $2,000.
Okay, listeners.
And you go buy new tires for your car, your behind mortgage, pay your behind car payments. You know, get
gift cards, all that.
Whatever you want to do, clothes for your kids. It's called It's Your Choice Raffle.
So here's how we're going to do this. So those of you that are listening, if you are on Facebook and you're listening live and you're in the chat box, put replay, play, Restored Hope Ministries.
Raffle.
Put Restored Hope Ministries raffle, and I will enter you in the giveaway, and the prize is $2,000. They are giving three away. Come on, somebody. You might get, look at this, $2,000. They are giving. I want to be able to give, and I know some of our listeners, because of what you're doing, how do I go and give? Do I go on your website? Is there a donate
button? The easiest way is go on the website, and it'll direct you right to
push
any of the donate buttons. And it'll set you all up. If you want to be a monthly giver, if you want to be a one-time giver, whatever you want to do, it even for volunteers. So we want to get to know you before we start asking for money.
Okay.
Be a mentor. Be collect food for us.
Yeah.
Bring clothing. You know,
and we're a house for women. So as far as donations, let's think about things that women need. We have a store inside of the house where girls earn like an allowance, so to speak. They work and they have a savings system.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, purses, perfume, essentials, hair products, different things.
So if they want to bring donations, where do they bring them to?
Well, have them call us because it is a safe house.
It is a safe house.
We'd have them bring it to the office.
The office. Yes. Okay.
So there's a volunteer opportunity. Mm-hmm. There's being a leader, a teacher.
Awesome.
There's also, finances.
Yes.
And all the money goes for, you know, it's really crazy because there's a lot of ministries or programs, you know, their budget's $1.3 million, $2 million. It's not even in-house. It's outhouse, or what do you call it?
Outpatient.
Mm-hmm. It's outpatient care. Our budget, just for your listeners to know, is $700,000, and we do all this. God, miraculously, I mean, even just today, one phone call ended up in $7,500 being donated. We checked on a volunteer, and that's how God does. We walk in the favor of God.
That's what it is, because you're doing the Lord's work.
That's right.
We're trying to get a phase two house so that we can separate the new girls that are still detoxing from the ones that are getting jobs. Because, you know, if they're leaving every day, getting up, riding the bus, going downtown, they're talking at the dinner table, it can cause another girl to be triggered and want to leave detoxing.
That's good.
So we even do that. We don't do drugs for drugs. Yeah. We detox with Epsom salt and chocolate.
Wow.
So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in. The website will tell them anything they want to know.
So I had a listener ask again, how do I get to their site so I can go give? It is rhmdallas.org. This is somebody listening live.
Put that in the search.
rhmdallas.org. It is Restored Hope Ministries. So please go and donate. This is going to be a reaping because you are sowing into good ground. This is not going to be flighty, somebody using your money and taking it and, you know, getting a BMW. inside joke. I'm going to give. So, you guys, this time goes so fast. The next show
too
is
fast.
Coming up. But thank you so much, Pastor Sam and Victoria, for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for what you're doing.
And
go ahead. Any last minute things you want to say?
Anybody that wants further information, I can tell my cell phone on
the right now. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
469-853-4121.
Okay.
And then the Ministry Safe House is 469-334-0035. We have an open door policy. Call, ask questions.
0035. But I said that right, 469.
Yeah.
This is the safe house.
So give us a call. You know, you might not be able to come to the safe house, but we'll tell you all about it. We'll get you some materials to look at. And we just want to collaborate and work with everybody. We're the body of Christ.
Yes.
The body of Christ. So everybody's welcome, whosoever will.
If you come across girls, send them our way.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say. If you know someone, send them their way.
If you even think.
Yeah.
That they're being exploited. Call us and we'll tell you if they are.
God bless you guys. Yeah. I pray a blessing over your ministry.
Thank you so much.
Oh, guys, this has been a great show. Tune in next Tuesday, same time, 7 p.m., Focus with Angela Duncan. See you live on the stream.